You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. Lou, I am Allison Fuller from MLB.com, and I'm here with Corey Brock, who is covering these up-and-down Padres for our lovely website. And I think we're on a little bit of an upswing, Corey, if I am looking at the results correctly.
Yeah, it depends on when we talk, I guess, Allison. It's really variable from day to day, week to week with these guys. And, yeah, you called it correctly, up and down. That's what these guys have been so far. So, it's been an interesting ride so far. They could look like the best team in baseball one day, and the next day they could struggle mightily. So still searching for some consistency.
Let's talk about Tyson Ross a little bit, an interesting sort of analysis that I saw while reading all of the Padres coverage. So not quite the same last year. Last year was an all-star. This year, just the numbers just aren't quite as good. Is he a mystery? Is he still kind of developing into what he will eventually be? Or what's the difference between this year and last year?
Yeah, and, you know, he was so good last year that maybe it's a little unfair to expect that again. And you really break down his numbers. He was probably one of the most dominant pitchers in the National League last year. And it wasn't really reflective in his record, and we shouldn't be looking at pitchers' records anyway to be as a true indicator as to how good they are. But, you know, the ERA, the strikeouts, the hits per nine, really good last year. Made his first All-Star team. Just really dominant stuff. It's been pretty good at times this year. Just kind of a tick off from where it was. You know, one of his troubles, Allison, is controlling the running game and, you know, being able to keep runners honest at first base. You know, a lot of guys get good jumps off him and, you know, kind of sets the wheels in motion, so to speak, for getting the other team's running game going. And, you know, when they get runners on and that can kind of force the issue a little bit and kind of puts the catchers behind the eight ball a little bit and makes things tough on them. So, but that kind of gets you into a conundrum there because, you know, you don't want to really change your mechanics dramatically to, you know, to try and hold guys on a little bit at the risk of losing your stuff or, you know, losing some of the things that have made you good. So there has to be kind of a give and take there a little bit. Maybe you try and alter your set times. Maybe you just throw over a little bit more to try and keep guys honest. But some of the things he's kind of working through moving forward. But, you know, the walks are up a little bit. The ERA is up a tick. But, you know, he's still a very good pitcher. And, you know, I think the Padres feel like he's going to be fine moving forward.
Yeah, and the important thing for a pitcher is run support, which he'd not gotten a ton of in May, which I think is probably a month that the team would maybe like to push aside a little bit, but they were shut out six times in May. So, I mean, it's not like pitchers are out there thinking about how many runs the team has scored for him, but at the same time, when you're thinking that you have to be absolutely perfect or if you have no shot at winning this game, that can get a little stressful.
Yeah, and these guys are, you know, they're pretty pragmatic about it, and, you know, and certainly they never call out their teammates, even if they ever wanted to, about, you know, lack of run support. And Tyson Ross knows this better than anyone from last year. I mean, they really didn't score any runs for him last year, and this year the guy is Andrew Kashner, who for some reason they haven't scored a lot of runs for, even though the offense is generally much better than it was a year ago, or I should say is better. Not markedly better, and certainly not as better as they thought it would be. I think these guys maybe feel like, you know, in some cases, maybe one or two mistakes are going to be tough to overcome. But I will say, you know, at least with the offense of the Padres this year, it's certainly been a little bit more resilient. They've shown they could overcome some deficits. They could score runs early. They could score runs late. So I don't think maybe the pitchers feel like, you know, they get down 2-0 early, let's say, that they're completely buried like they were a year ago. So at least from that standpoint, I think they feel like they're always going to be in a game and they could still kind of pitch to their strength.
I want to talk about Despaigne, and, of course, I'm going to keep up our tradition of not attempting to say his first name, but you can go ahead and do that. A really solid win over the Pirates recently. So what do you think about him?
Yeah, well, the manager calls him Despy, Allison, so you could just call him Despy. But, you know, Dreesimer Despaigne, yeah. You know what's funny is he became the first Padres starting pitcher to complete eight innings the other day, which is completely ironic given that he wasn't even in the rotation to begin the season. And, you know, this is a guy that's filled in the rotation now for the second time, this time for Brandon Morrow. And, you know, there are times when he gets hit hard and times when he is lights out, and he's been a much better pitcher traditionally at Petco Park than he has on the road. But, you know, he's thrown awfully well. You know, Brandon Morrow's about ready to come off the disabled list here in maybe another week or so. And I assume Despondi will slide back in long relief. But, you know, he's a fun guy to watch. You know, he's a Cuban. He throws a lot of different pitches, some varying arm angles. And last year, you know, I think there was kind of a trick component to how he pitched. And what I mean by that is, like I said, you know, he threw like, you know, 14 different curveballs. And, you know, just like a lot of different arm angles, a lot of different grips. But I think this year when he's been successful, he's thrown a lot of fastballs. He's had a lot more conviction with his fastball. And I think that's something they really emphasized to him, to not be, to use Bud Black's words, don't be such a trickster anymore. Just pitch. Be a, you know, show some conviction with your fastball. Pitch off your fastball, and then you could use those other things. I mean, he throws this Ephus curveball, which is always fun to watch, especially, you know, Allison, when it shows up on game day and it says, you know, Ephus, 68 miles an hour. I love that. But, you know, totally. That's all fine and dandy, but you certainly can't live off that. But, you know, he's been a welcome relief for them, especially, you know, when he first filled in for Ian Kennedy when he went down early in the year, and now for Brandon Morrow. You know, these teams talk ad nauseum about pitching depth, and some are able to cover it better than others. But, you know, he's really saved them here in the, you know, the first 2 months of the season, being able to cover those innings. We cover them pretty well.
And, I mean, it's not like pitchers or anybody that's in the big leagues needs extra motivation. But, goodness, I mean, he's trying to prove himself as a guy who should be in the rotation all the time. So this is just a golden opportunity for him, regardless of the fact that I'm sure he doesn't want his teammates to be going down. But you have to, you know, grab the opportunity while you can.
Yeah, and you could certainly make things a lot tougher on the manager, the coaching staff, and the front office by, you know, pitching your butt off and doing what he did the other day against the Pirates, you know, one run over eight innings. You know, that's a sure enough way to hold on to a spot in the rotation, or at the very least, you know, keep a spot in the big leagues. So, you know, he's doing everything that he absolutely can to hang on to his spot. So it'll be interesting to see how this all kind of shakes out.
I read John Heyman's column. He's got this, like, massively in-depth team by team, everything he can possibly gather on anybody he puts into one, like, long column. It's very fascinating. Of course, you know, it's June something, first week in June, so we don't want to speculate too much on what they might do around the trade deadline. So, but let me ask you this, because John had, like, some, you know, speculations. Oh, they could do something with Benoit, with Kennedy. Could they be on the trade block? What about Cashner? What about Ross? But has there been any kind of speculation, discussion, if A.J. Preller's plan and his whole offseason, everything they've done, like, what if this doesn't work? Is it, do you think, I mean, I'm asking you to speculate from, like, 7 weeks from now, but would they, is this kind of a long-term plan, or you think that they could sort of shake things up even at the deadline if this turns out that this roster does not work?
Yeah, you know, I guess my thought process all along when they sort of built this thing was, you know, this was going to be a team that would probably be in position to add pieces at the trade deadline, and I never really considered the other side, but, you know, let's say things go south here, and, you know, they're out of contention, and maybe you're sort of looking ahead to 2016 at that point, and looking at the interesting pieces you have that teams might want, looking at, you know, Ian Kennedy, who, you know, he's going to have to reestablish his value after struggling early here. But, you know, someone like Justin Upton, let's say, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, maybe you deal him. You know, you're going to get a lot of hits on a lot of guys. But, you know, I don't think that's anything that's even crossing their mind at this point. You know, I think they really want to get all their eggs in one basket, get all their guys healthy. You know, Yonder Alonso's coming back. Will Myers is starting to hit on the field this week. You know, I think once they get their full component of guys back again, they really want to see what they have and feel like they can make a run at it a little bit. The pitching has been better lately. And then, maybe cross that bridge if you get to it. And certainly they hope they don't get to it. And they hope they get to July 31st, and they're looking for pieces to add to the team instead of selling off pieces and thinking ahead to next year. You know, if they're thinking ahead to 2016 in late July, then something's gone dramatically wrong, and this is not at all what they'd hoped for or what they put together. So, but we've seen it before, Allison, you know, the best laid plans, right? You know, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how this thing kind of shakes out. But I think, you know, to a man, they don't think they've played their best baseball yet. But, you know, it's here we are at the 1st of July, and, you know, they're just kind of hanging around a few games under 500. And at some point, you have to make a move.
Yeah, and I felt all along like this is a team that is not going to be able to hit a stride for a while. There was a chance that it was going to take them a very long time to gel together just from an offensive standpoint. I really didn't think about the pitching much because that didn't really change a whole lot. But I feel like it would be, I mean, you almost need the entire first half to really assess and get a good handle on how you think this thing may go, because, I don't know, I feel like if the Padres were in a different division, it's just because of the Dodgers and the Giants, it's just an extremely hard thing to be a contender in this division. But from just looking at the team, you do feel like they have a big run in them at some point.
Yeah, it's just too many guys who have produced too much in the past for them not to. I mean, I find it hard to believe that all these guys are going to regress at once. I mean, it's just, it's hard to see that happening, especially with guys, you know, who are still young and in their prime. You know, Will Myers, certainly he's been hurt, but, you know, he's 24 years old. Derek Norris is having a big year. Justin Upton, and he's in his prime, and he's off to a great start. And what we've talked about, Allison, since spring training about kind of, you know, thinking this is going to be a monster year for him, and I think he's on his way for that. You know, I don't think there's any reason to think that these guys aren't going to produce. It's just kind of a matter of getting at least more than like one or two of them to do it at the same time. And so far that hasn't happened.
Right. Well, I still have hope for these guys. So we will pay attention to this as it goes along. Thank you, Corey. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good, Allison.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.